In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear brothers and sisters, last week we spoke of another publican, another tax collector, Zacchaeus. And in connection with that reading, we spoke of all of our need to fight against the passions, how there are these passions that enslave us. We become their slaves, they become our masters. So that whenever this passion speaks, this passion for anger, this passion for greed, this passion for pride, we respond even without thinking, and we put it ahead even of God himself. And that we all have a passion which is chief in us, that assails us most, that we must consciously fight against by cultivating the opposite virtue. We spoke of how this prepares us for the tribunal which the new martyrs faced when they were given a choice of a promise that satisfied their passions, or to follow Christ. If we're always in the habit of following our passions, we will give in to that choice. But if we're in the habit of fighting against them, even unsuccessfully, if we're in the habit of calling on God, on Christ, to free us from the passion when it assails us, then when faced with the choice, we'll choose him. Well, brothers and sisters, we will not all be faced with martyrdom, but we will all be faced with death. And at the moment of death, that same choice is given us. That same tribunal lies before us. When the demons who have tempted us all our lives tempt us again. And at that point, when we see Christ more clearly than we do now, will we choose him or will we choose our passion? So we have to fight against our passions. But we're given today a very important corrective. If you listen carefully to the words of the Pharisee in this parable, he was describing a life of fighting against his passions. He was a virtuous man. He said, I don't give in to the passion of greed and injustice. Rather, I give tithes of all I possess. I don't give in to pleasures of the flesh. Rather, I fast twice in the week. He was describing the life that I just finished saying we should live. And yet our Lord does not approve him. He's not the one who goes down to his house justified. Why? Because if you listen also, you will hear that it said that he attributed all of his virtues, all of his struggles, not to God, but to himself. He starts well. He says, Lord, I thank thee. Our prayer should start with, Lord, I thank thee. But then what should he say next? Lord, I thank thee that despite my weakness, you have been with me. You have not allowed me to fall. You have preserved me on the path and give me the strength to keep on. Instead, he says, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like all the rest of them sinners. And especially this guy over here. It's the wrong path, right? In fact, he's in fighting all of these other passions, he's fallen prey to the worst passion of all, to the worst master of all, and has become its slave, and that is the passion of pride. From self-love, from this root, this evil root, spring all of the passions. The worst of these is the passion of pride. Unlike all the rest, it's a little more subtle. Most of the passions spring from each other. If you fight against the passions, if you cultivate virtue, other virtues will come, other passions will go away. But pride can come from cultivating virtues. So it has to be fought specially. Pride is damaging, the fathers tell us, because it's foreign to the very nature of God. God is humble. That's probably the most amazing thing we can hear and know about God, is that God, being the creator of the universe, the giver of everything, is humble. We see this in our Lord Jesus Christ. When he appeared to us as a man, he appeared as a humble man. St. Paul tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it a thing to be seized to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and humbled himself even unto death, the death of a cross. Pride is damaging also because it's delusional. Because what do we really have to be proud of? Everything we have, every virtue is given to us as a gift in the moment from God. Every success we have in conquering all the evil things that we make ourselves do is only God's grace in the moment. Pride is delusional. Humility is simply acknowledgement of the truth. Humility isn't going around and saying, oh, I'm the worst of all people, and it isn't putting on airs of humility. It's just recognizing the truth of who you are, who all of us are, and our constant need for God in everything. And this is what we see in this publican, this tax collector, who truly was a pretty bad sinner. Very unjust toward other people in many, many ways, right? But what did he say? What did he say coming into the temple? He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He put no hope, no trust in himself. He knew that he couldn't rescue himself from the evil that was enslaving him. So he turned to God to ask him to do it. Perhaps this Pharisee should have done the same with regard to his pride. We all have this disease that the Pharisee had. We all tend to be blind to the things that are ailing us. We only see our virtues. And yet we quickly and callously judge others, just as he judged the publican. So let us always remember to humble ourselves before God, to remember that without him, as Christ our Lord tells us himself, we can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. And so always remembering our sins, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the fathers tell us is the only way really to fight pride. Always remembering our sins before God and fleeing for him to help, we won't have any time or any attention to notice the faults of others. Others will be in our attention, but only in so much as we can do them service. So we should think only of ourselves when examining our faults. We should think only of God and of others when thinking of doing service. So like the publican, let us cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's a reason why that is the very first prayer in the morning prayers in your prayer book. Or in a slightly expanded form, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. And as we become even more aware of our own infirmity, of our own need for God, of our own helplessness, we will be better able to empathize with the struggles of all those around us, better able to help them in their time of need. This is the path of the saints. They could help others because they were aware of their own weakness, because of their infirmity. You too can follow that path. All we have to do is humble ourselves before God. This reading about the publican and Pharisee is given us specifically now, on the first of the four Sundays of preparation for Great Lent, because this is the foundation of all our spiritual life. Without it, everything else doesn't work. May God, through the intercessions of all the saints, have mercy on us and help us on this path. Amen.